So, my message this morning is entitled, O Come All Ye Faithful, and I'm taking some Christmas hymns and kind of using them as a catalyst for these messages around the Christmas season. And today's hymn that I'm using is the hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, which we sang a few minutes ago. And it's a great hymn of invitation. At Christmas time, we are invited to worship. We're invited to give praise and thanksgiving. What a novel idea that is at Christmas time. Every Christmas season, 2019, right now, we're invited by God, the holy angels that announced Jesus' birth, and the shepherds and the wise men to come and worship the newborn king. There's many calls to worship in the Bible, and the one I would like to take you to begin this message is Psalm 95. I think this is a great call to worship. I want us to read the first seven verses, and this gives us a kind of an introduction for our message today, a call to come and to worship the newborn king. And I invite you to stand, and I'm going to read Psalm 95, verses 1 through the first part of verse 7. And listen to how many times the word come is in here. We are invited to come and worship. O come, all ye faithful. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also, the sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that we will accept the invitation this Christmas time to come and to worship you. We need to do this all year long, but this season of the year, a joyous time of the year, where we remember what you did for us in sending your Son to this earth, may we accept that invitation and boldly and bravely, with great desire and anticipation and excitement, come and worship you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Psalm 95 is a call of God's people to come and express our worship, our joys, our praises. Everything from shouting to bowing is mentioned here. We are to come before the Lord. We are to come before the rock of our salvation. We are to come before the great God and the great King. He is our Maker. He formed the depths of this earth. He made the mountain peaks. He made the seas. He made the dry lands. That pretty much encompasses the entire earth. He is the Creator. He's our Maker. And the passage says that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. It's interesting. The writer of Psalms turns that metaphor around. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And both those phrases assure us that the Lord is our shepherd, Psalm 23, who guides and protects and provides for us. So there's some great reasons in this psalm for us to come and worship him. Great reasons to come before him. We're even told how. We are told we can come and sing for joy to the Lord. And two times we are told that we can come and shout joyfully to the Lord. Now, I've been a Baptist preacher for a long time, and let me tell you that Baptists have a hard time with that shouting thing. But you guys aren't Baptists, so that should be no problem for you, right? We can shout. We can have some enthusiasm in our worship. We are told that even when we can come to bow down and to kneel. Worship involves our whole being. Somehow we don't understand that many times. Sometimes we think it's just standing or sitting or singing or being quiet. It involves our whole being in worship. The hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, continues by saying, joyful and triumphant. When you come to worship, can you come joyful and triumphant? That's the Old Testament call to worship. Now turn to the New Testament, the story of the birth of Christ, Luke chapter 2. Pastor Brian already read part of it to us. Luke chapter 2 gives us what the shepherds did, the announcement that was made to them and their response to the angels. Let me read you that passage. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Next week, we'll talk about O little town of Bethlehem. I'll explain that a little bit more. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which had been told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. The good news of who Jesus is and what he came to do was announced by the angels to the shepherds, these lowly shepherds. And the angels sing in exaltation. Joy and triumph is the mood that surrounds the birth of Christ. Every hymn in our hymnal has a verse of scripture underneath the title that explains the biblical basis for that hymn. And the biblical basis for the hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful," is verse 15 here in Luke chapter 2. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They became the faithful, and they went to worship the newborn king. O come, all ye faithful. The first group of people who did that were the shepherds. The second group of people who did that were the wise men. We need to continue that. When we hear the good news of what Christ has done by coming to earth, we can come to worship. The shepherds immediately left their flocks or their fields. They probably took their flocks with them, and they went to see the newborn king. They were the first who were faithful, joyful, and triumphant. They did not shy away. They risked everything that they had to come to the manger. They came probably in curiosity, excitement, and they left in verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. One of the things that takes place in our worship is when we leave, we should be doing as a shepherd's doing, glorifying and praising God for all that we experienced. The nation of Israel was waiting for some joyful and triumphant news. They needed it badly. God had been silent with the nation of Israel for 400 years. They had not heard from God. They were living basically in their land, but they were under Roman rule, political oppression. They needed some good news, and this was good news. There were prophecies about a coming Messiah, but centuries had come and gone, and nothing had happened. Then all of a sudden, something happened. The world then was hungry for some good news. You know, I think that's still the case today. Our world today is still hungry for some good news. Starving, I think, in fact, for good news. All nations desire to hear something good. If you turn on the television, listen to the news, it's not good. You know, we're the not. Sometimes I think instead of being the United States of America, we're the divided states of America. The news, we need some good news. Is there any good news out there? You know, if it's a newscast, if it bleeds, it leads. Somehow or other, news always has to start off with bad news. Remember Paul Harvey? I may remember Paul Harvey. Probably one of the best news commentators there ever was. Paul Harvey would usually start off his broadcast with some good news, because we need good news. And this is good news. We need some positive, encouraging good news. K-Love Radio, that's what their motto is, positive and encouraging. We need some news that is joyful and triumphant. We need some real good news. We need some good news that's better than saving money with Geico. Okay? Better than the after-Christmas sales that you're going to be trying to get. Better than buying Craftsman tools on sale at Lowe's. Come on, we need some good news. And the good news is, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come and worship the new-born King. We're invited to be joyful and triumphant at Christmas time. Can we be joyful and triumphant this Christmas? In the midst of everything that we're going through, and I know some of you are going through a lot, in the midst of all that we're going through, can we still be joyful and triumphant because Christ has come? Because we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Again, the one who came to this earth to save us from our sins. And what a great invitation we have to come and worship, joyful and triumphant. In the midst of our hurry and our scurry, in the midst of our hustle and our bustle, we are invited by God Himself to worship Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Our hymn, O come all ye faithful. It's an invitation. And the refrain of that hymn, the chorus, tells us what we're invited to do. Interesting history behind that hymn. It was written in the 1700s by an Englishman by the name of John Francis Wade. He taught music, and he wrote this hymn in Latin, because back then it was believed that the holy language that God understood was Latin. And we all know that's not true. It's English, right? But it was Latin. So it was written in Latin. And then about 100 years later, a guy by the name of Francis Oakley, or Frederick Oakley, came along, and he, an Englishman, translated it in English. And our hymnal lists three verses. There's actually eight. And each verse is an invitation. And the chorus, the refrain, is the invitation of what we're to do. Come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Oh, come, let's adore Him, Christ the Lord. The word come reminds us not to stay behind, not to sit around and wait, but to risk the journey and come to Christ. We cannot stay where we are. We cannot be content with where we're at. We're to go and come into His presence. We're to come from the secular to the sacred. We're to come from our selfishness. We're to come away from our sin. We're to come away from our busyness. We're to come into His presence. Come under His love and His grace. To adore Him. The word adore means the wholeness of worship. To treasure Christ as the most valuable person in our life, the most treasured thing that we have to adore, to love Christ deeply. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to adore, to give our complete self in adoration, in worship, and praise. Christ the Lord. Jesus is not just another man. He is a great prophet and He's a great teacher, but He's much more than that. As the hymn says, He is the King of the angels. He's the Word of the Father. He is God in flesh appearing. Christ the Lord. Not just at Christmas time, but any time we can come before Him and adore Him as our Lord, our Master, our Savior. The faithful can always come. Time and political correctness or persecution cannot keep the faithful from Christ. Christmas is a grand invitation to come to Christ. And to many people, the closest they come to Christ really is at Christmas time or Easter time. The rest of the time, it's not even on their radar. But this is a great opportunity to come and worship. Countless invitations are given in the Scriptures, even in our music. O come all ye faithful is just one. There's another hymn that we sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. It says, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Another hymn, Angels from the Realm of Glory, which we sang this morning. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And then a hymn that we're going to sing at the close of this service, the hymn, Thou Dost Leave Thy Throne. It concludes with, O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for Thee. That personalizes it. Come into our heart. Come into our life. In the biblical accounts of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds and the wise men were invited to come to Jesus the Christ. At the invitation for the shepherds, they gladly told their story, and they left praising and glorifying God. The wise men came and they gave gifts to Christ and worship Him. Have you accepted His invitation to come and worship Him this season? Has there been a point in your life where you accepted the invitation to come and have Him be your Savior and your Lord? Have you answered the invitations to come and worship? Too often times in our busyness, we turn down the invitations. We walk away from the invitations. We ignore the invitations. Christmas time 2019, let's answer the invitations. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior? Is He the one who rules your life? Is He the one who has forgiven you of your sins? Is He the one that has given you life everlasting? Is He the one that gives you meaning and purpose in this life, abundant life? And He's the one that you can trust to take care of you each and every day of your life. Have you accepted the invitation for salvation? How do you do that? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you want to quickly turn there, it's a great passage of invitation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Simply explains what we need to do, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. This passage tells us how we come to Christ. And there's two words that are repeated two times. The word believe is one of them. The word believe means to trust, to place your confidence in, to be committed to. That's a life-changing decision. It's not just an intellectual understanding, but it's a continual trust from the depths of our being. We believe that Jesus is Lord, that He is God. We believe that He rose again from the dead. We're convinced that it is true. And then we confess. The word confess means to speak, to admit, to declare. Vine's Dictionary puts it this way, to declare openly by way of speaking out freely, such confession being the effect of a deep conviction of the facts. Let me put it this way. In your heart and your mind, you believe the facts about Christ. You believe that He is God in the flesh. You believe that He is the Savior who 2,000 years ago literally lived. And He literally died on a real cross. And 3 days later, He literally really rose again from the dead. You believe that as facts. But you also believe it by faith that He did that for you. He did that for me. He came to this earth to save you. He came to this earth to save me. That's personal belief. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, you can put your name in that, believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the word confess means you tell someone. You verbalize it. You tell God. You tell your family. You tell your church. You tell anyone. Christmas hymn says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. You can't keep it to yourself. You confess it. Believer's baptism is another wonderful way to confess and testify of your faith. That's what's, it's so simple. There's nothing we have to do. There's no works we have to do. There's no, you know, there's no many Sundays we have to attend church. There's no other activities we have to do. It's simply believe in our heart. You can do it anywhere at any time. You don't need an audience. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. You can do it publicly, anytime, any place. Simply believe. And then confess. Let's talk about how that happens. I'm not sure where I heard this, but a number of years ago, this helped me understand the process of how people come to Christ in different ways. And there's really three different ways that people can come to Christ. And take a look at your testimony and see how you came to Christ. Some come slowly, some come suddenly, and some come steadily. Let me explain that. Some people come to Christ slowly. It takes time. A biblical example is Thomas. Thomas was a disciple who followed Jesus for 3 years. And finally, after the resurrection, the light bulb went on. And he said, "My Lord and my God." It took Thomas 3 years to come to faith in Christ. Maybe you've been a person that's been in and out of church all your life. Maybe you've known the facts about Christ for a long time. You might even be a religious person. But you have doubts and fears and hesitations. You've never taken Christ personally. You've never crossed over that line of trust. It's just an intellectual thing out there. Maybe it's taken you a little bit of time. You've come slowly. But don't hesitate this Christmas time. Cross the line of faith. Make that decision. So some come slowly. Some come suddenly. In a moment, in a crisis experience. Like the Apostle Paul. Going down the road, heading to Damascus, on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9, a bright light goes on, an aha moment comes. He's confronted with the gospel, realizes his sinfulness, and boldly makes a decision for Christ, suddenly. Like the Apostle Paul, you may be religious. Or you may be like the Samaritan woman who was a pagan. John chapter 4, a sinner whose life was already thoroughly messed up, but she meets Jesus in a moment in time, and her life has changed dramatically. Some come suddenly. Some come steadily. They're surrounded by the gospel, like young Timothy. He grew up with the scriptures. All their life, they didn't know when they didn't believe. Timothy was a child who grew up under the influence of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, godly women. He heard the scripture. He grew up steadily, surrounded by the gospel. How have you come to Christ? Slowly, suddenly, steadily. Part of this I got from the book by Billy Graham entitled The Journey. Published in 2006. Billy Graham spent his entire career seeking to bring people to Christ. Who knows how many invitations he gave? How many people responded? And in many respects, he was calling people to make sudden decisions, crisis decisions. His conversion was sudden. He was 17 years old and went to a crusade. And after hearing the gospel for several nights, finally his heart was convicted and he made that public, personal profession of faith at age 17. And when he gives his testimony, he always goes back to that. But then he writes about his wife Ruth. He writes, "She cannot recall a time she didn't believe in Jesus, who was her Savior even as a child." Ruth probably came steadily. Then Graham continues to write, "The important thing is not how we come to Christ, but that we do come. And that we are sure that we are now trusting Christ for our salvation. Are you certain of your commitment to Him? If you don't let another moment go by without making that decision. The Bible says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Have you come to Christ? Have you come to worship Him? How have you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Have you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? A pastor can never make an assumption that everybody in the church audience is saved. We have to make the assumption that maybe someone hasn't crossed that line of faith. So I need to make it perfectly clear to you, to invite you, if you've never made that decision, make that decision today. I look at my testimony, and I think I've come to Christ all three ways. Steadily, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were both Bible-believing Christians surrounded by faith. The church I attended was started by my grandfather. I grew up with Jesus. But I came suddenly as a young child. Never forget it. I made a decision in my own bedroom. My parents were there. I made a faith decision to accept Christ as my Savior. That was suddenly. But then it took about 7 years before I made a public profession of faith, as I steadily began to understand what that decision meant. And then I publicly confessed it. Baptism was one of the ways I did it. There's moments of revelation, inspiration. And yet I look at my life in the last many, many years, and I think I'm still coming slowly. There's still doubts and fears and times you wonder. God still keeps working in our life, in my life. Those times of faith and learning. You go forwards a little bit in your faith, then you go backwards, and then you go forwards again. Moments and of doubt and failure, and yet moments of inspiration and revelation. In a very real sense, I do believe that we keep coming to Christ, but there needs to be a point where that journey crosses the line in the faith, and then we come and worship the newborn King. We sing these Christmas carols every Christmas. They're continually calling us to come and adore Him. Are we answering the calls? We should. Pastor Brian's going to come up and praise team, and they're going to lead us in a hymn here in a few moments, which is an invitation to come again, to come and worship. And I'm going to stand off to the side while they sing. And if anybody needs anybody to talk to today, I'll be willing to talk with you today. If anybody is not sure of their salvation, I'd be more than willing to talk with you today, or one of the church leaders. But I'm going to stand off to the side. I'm going to sing with you. But if anybody needs to believe, needs to confess, I'd be more than willing to help you do that today. Pastor Brian, why don't you come forward and lead us in this hymn. It's Thou Dost Leave Thy Throne, an invitation to come and to worship.
Would you please grab your hymnal and turn to number 193.